By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azizul. Firstly, mashallah, it's a nice, it's a beautiful morning. It's quite actually warm. It's kind of hot, you can say. Alhamdulillah, Azizul. Sun is shining. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, sun is, you know, absolutely shining. I can barely even open my left eye. Allahu Akbar. And yes, Alhamdulillah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah, today, as usual, we do have a beautiful topic too, inshallah, and we shall be covering some of these things. But first, before we begin the day, rise and shine. You are watching, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, we are outside. It feels good, doesn't it? Just being on, it's sitting on the grass. Alhamdulillah, it feels nice. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah, we've also got our guest who has joined us. Guess who it is before he does enter the screen. It's mashallah our respected Habib Madani Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him.
Wa alaykum
as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Now, if you're on Madani Channel, our Habib Madani Sahib has joined us. Madani, what does a Madani mean? Let's just begin with that, Habibai.
This is mashallah the title that's given to those that complete the Dars-e Nizami in the Institute of Dawat Islami of Jamiat al-Madina.
My viewers of Madani Channel, Jamiat al-Madina, some would know it as an Alim course. And Alhamdulillah, Azizul, those who do graduate as Habiba is one of those individuals amongst the first years or possibly,
yeah,
amongst the first few years, my dear viewers, to graduate from Jamiat al-Madina, and a person who does fulfill or complete this course, it's about a 6-year course, my dear viewers. The individual who completes this course is given a title of a Madani. Alhamdulillah, Azzajal. My dear viewers, Alhamdulillah, Azzajal. We do have a beautiful topic. You are watching Raz and Shan. Stick with us. We always begin by listening to the recitation of the Holy Quran, my dear viewers. This does come along with the Urdu translation. Let's begin this beautiful day by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
قال فرعون آمنتم به قبل أن آذن لكم إن هذا لمكر مكرتموه في المدينة لتخرجوا منها أهلها فسوف تعلمون.
فرعون بولا تم اس پر ایمان لے آئے قبل اس کے کہ میں تمہیں اجازت دوں, یہ تو بڑا جال یعنی مکر و فریب ہے جو تم سب نے شہر میں پھیلایا ہے کہ شہر والوں کو اس سے نکال دو تو اب جان جاؤ گے.
لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ.
قسم ہے کہ میں تمہارے ایک طرف کے ہاتھ اور دوسری طرف کے پاؤں کاٹوں گا پھر تم سب کو سولی دوں گا.
قَالُوا إِلَى رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ.
بولے ہم اپنے رب کی طرف پھرنے والے ہیں.
وَمَا تَنْقِمُ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ
تجھے ہمارا کیا برا لگا، یہی نہ کہ ہم اپنے رب کی نشانیوں پر ایمان لائے جب وہ ہمارے پاس آئیں۔
ربنا افرغ علینا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمین،
اے رب ہمارے ہم پر صبر انڈیل دے اور ہمیں مسلمان اٹھا۔
وقال الملأ من قوم فرعون أتذر موسى وقومه ليفسدوا في الأرض ويذرك وآلهتك،
اور قوم فرعون کے سردار بولے کیا تو موسیٰ اور اس کی قوم کو اس لیے چھوڑتا ہے کہ وہ زمین میں فساد پھیلائیں، اور موسیٰ تجھے اور تیرے ٹھہرائے ہوئے معبودوں کو چھوڑ دے۔
قال سنقتل ابنا ونستحيي نساءهم وإنا فوقهم قاهرون،
بولا اب ہم ان کے بیٹوں کو قتل کریں گے اور ان کی بیٹیاں زندہ رکھیں گے اور ہم بے شک ان پر غالب ہیں۔
قال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا ان الارض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبه للمتقين،
موسیٰ نے اپنی قوم سے فرمایا اللہ کی مدد چاہو اور صبر کرو، بے شک زمین کا مالک اللہ ہے، اپنے بندوں میں جسے چاہے وارث بنائے اور آخر میدان پرہیزگاروں کے ہاتھ ہے۔
قالوا اوذینا من قبل ان تأتینا ومن بعد ما جئتنا،
بولے ہم ستائے گئے آپ کے آنے سے پہلے اور آپ کے تشریف لانے کے بعد۔
قال عسى ربكم ان يهلك عدوكم ويستخلفكم في الارض فينظر كيف تعملون،
کہا قریب ہے کہ تمہارا رب تمہارے دشمن کو ہلاک کرے اور اس کی جگہ زمین کا مالک تمہیں بنائے، پھر دیکھے کیسے کام کرتے ہو۔
صدق اللہ العظیم،
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Reviews of the channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. Yes, mashallah Azza wa Jalla, we do have our Habib Madini Sahib who is with us. First day, by the way, Habib, I did not thank you for spending your taking out your time and mashallah joining us today on Rise and Shine. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah azza wa jalla, we have listened to beautiful verses of the glorious Quran, and it's good, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you know, there are billions of people, but how many of them were able to listen to the Quran today? So alhamdulillah, this is, you know, a blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to not only listen to the Quran daily, but also to recite the glorious Quran daily, to open the glorious Quran daily, to look at the glorious Quran daily. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, yes, we have listened to the recitation of the Quran. We are going to move on to the Na'at Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
مدینہ ساڈی جانے، مدینہ ساڈی جانے، مدینہ ساڈی جانے، مدینہ ساڈی جانے، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ، خاک مدینہ ہوتی میں خاک سار ہوتا، ہوتی رہے مدینہ میرا غبار ہوتا، ہوتی رہے مدینہ میرا غبار ہوتا، آقا اگر
کرم سے طیبہ مجھے بلاتے طیبہ مجھے بلاتے روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا بے کس کو گر بلاتے بے کس کو گر بلاتے کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑ کر خوار ہوتا کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑ کر خوار ہوتا زمین ہوتی ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا ان کے قریب بستا ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا مل مٹ کے خوب لگتی مٹی میری ٹھکانے گلوں کی راہ گزر پر گلوں کی راہ گزر پر میرا مزار ہوتا یہ آرزو دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد یہ آرزو دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اور میں غبار بن کر اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجا کے رکھا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا مگر اب تو اسے آقا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا سالک ہوئے ہم ان کے وہ بھی ہوئے ہمارے سالک ہوئے ہم ان کے وہ بھی ہوئے ہمارے دل مضطرب تو لیکن نہیں اعتبار ہوتا دل مضطرب کو لیکن دل مضطرب کو لیکن نہیں اعتبار ہوتا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Many viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. We just listen to the beautiful Naz Sharif of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Many viewers of Madani channel, today's topic. Today, inshallah, we shall be speaking about good habits. Now, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has been given the best of characteristics, of manners. He has showed us the best of manners, best of characteristics, the best habits. No doubt the habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the best of habits, my dear viewers of the channel. So inshallah, in fact, Habibah, is there from the habits, now the many things, again, a favorite.
Smiling.
I'm not really, well, smile straight away, you've come to it.
Yeah, whenever I think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam habits, the first thing that comes into mind is smiling.
Smile. Why?
I think smiling is something which, even if someone's sad, someone's going through any difficulties, even if he smiles himself, it'll make him feel positive. It'll make him feel good. I don't know what it is about the smile scientifically. I don't know what the background is, the muscle or the face or whatever, but it just gives a positive vibe when someone smiles. And then the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
From all the things, why is it that the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to mind?
First, the thing with the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is it's not just for his close people; it's also for those that have done bad to him as well.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completely perfect in every manner whatsoever. And mashallah, many habits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beautiful, and one of the many habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to smile. Just smiling generally has a huge, beautiful effect. Yes, on the person himself. In fact, to smile, sometimes it's a bit difficult to smile if, let's just say, you're angry, if you're sad, then how could you smile?
Obviously, I think if you're smiling all the time, that's a little bit of a too extreme. You should always have the, you know.
Should I tell you, there was one companion, I think it was Hazrat Abu Darda radhiallahu anhu, if I'm correct.
I think if you're talking about the narration that I'm thinking about, it would be the...
So he would always be smiling. And then his own wife says to him that, why are you always smiling? If you're going to always smile, at least, you know, fine smiling. If you're always going to be smiling, nobody's going to take you seriously. He says, whenever I would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be smiling. So what would you say to that then, Habib?
That's what you call extreme, but the good extreme in the sense that he's done it out of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is a good, that is an appreciated extreme. So I think that's.
To be honest, it's brilliant. I wouldn't call it extreme because anything which is generally considered extreme is considered bad. But
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes yes, he would be angry, and he said, you know, even described the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His anger is described too, that he would become sometimes he become so angry about the vein.
The vein, yeah.
That the vein could be seen between his eyebrows. I forgot what he, between his eyebrows, his blessed eyebrows, because it's the eyebrows of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a vein could be seen and his face would become red, and is described as not ordinary red, but like a red pomegranate, meaning a beautiful red. So even in such a situation, they describe the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you know, in such a case, when he's when he is and he needs to, and Madiba, it's important, isn't it, or is it not important sometimes to show your anger?
Definitely at the time where it's needed, it should be, you know, reprimanding someone, especially if you're on a status that is a higher status and that person is doing something which is against Sharia or against good etiquettes, then you should reprimand that person. It doesn't mean that you'll be angry and you shout and, you know, you do it in a bad way. You have to do it in a good way, but the anger element should be there, so then that that person does feel the awe and the mighty of what your the words that you're saying are and the effect that that has. So in fact, you know, when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in the state of Jalal, and the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was beautiful as well. And the way that he reprimanded people in a way was that even though he might have been angry, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the words were so sweet that the person's heart would melt towards him. And even through the anger of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would come close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, and it shows in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's always a balance. You know, there's always that middle ground. And even if you look at his, we were talking about his beauty, for example, his hair, it wasn't too curly, it wasn't too straight, it was in the middle. So things were, even his color, it wasn't too bright, it wasn't too dark, it was in the middle. So things are, you can say, a moderation in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what we should adopt in our life as well, moderation.
So smiling is one thing, mashallah, beautiful, brilliant. We should smile. We should smile. And especially when it comes to kids, Habiba, some people think, don't smile to your own children. Some people think, you know, you need to have, you know, this strict composure or something, I don't know, when you are in front of your children. What do you think about that?
I think the element there is to keep the awe there, you know, the which we say rob in Urdu, you know, the awe. So when it comes to general things, definitely you should smile with the child, with children, play around with them, be lenient upon them. Showing kindness and affection to the children is very important. You know, I would say 90% of the time with the children should be affectionate, compassionate, you know, smiling, playing around, fun, being fun with the kids. That 10% should be when the anger should be there, when they are, you know, doing something which is bad for them. You know, whenever we reprimand our child, we're doing it for their
benefit.
Yeah. So when you reprimand them, then you can show a little bit of angerness. Because when you show that you're very fun, very happy, and then you show that element when you're not happy with them, it will have more effect, because they'll know that, look, my father's normally generally happy. He's always playing around with me. I've done this action. Now my father is angry with me. This means that this action is not good. But if the father is always angry, and then he shows even more anger when he's when the child's done something wrong, the child's gonna be like, no, dad's always angry. You know, so what? I'll do it again. He'll just be angry again anyway. He's always angry with me anyway. So that mighty.
It's about the limits, isn't it?
Exactly.
On the one hand, if you're reprimanding them, on the other hand, if you're rewarding them. And this is how it should be.
Definitely.
You know, there's both, so that they know their limit.
Yeah.
You're not always telling them off. But if they are to do something wrong, sometimes it becomes a little difficult. Now, mashallah, alhamdulillah, I'm a father now. I've got a daughter. Now, she's, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her more, but she's quite clever, Habiba. Because when she does something, and she'll know it's wrong, and if I was to say something to her, I'd be like, Hafiza, and she'll roll her eyes, and she wouldn't even look at me. But if she wishes to do something, you know, which is wrong, and she knows it's wrong, let's just say it's having a sweet, I say, no, you can't have a sweet now. Or let's just say it's, no, you can't have no more. Let's just say I'm eating an ice cream. Let's say you can't have no more now. She's very, very clever. She'll come, she'll hug me, she'll give me a kiss, and then she'll sit down and
have it.
She's waiting. So sometimes you think, sometimes it's a bit hard. It is a bit hard. A person who doesn't have children is different. I used to think that, I don't know, I'm going to tell my child, you know, I was wrong. But sometimes you just look at the smile.
Yeah.
But again, rather the smile thing, it completely changes you. Because sometimes, you know, you're really tired or maybe you're even angry about something. It could be anything. And then your child smiles at you. And mashallah, she's always smiling. And then that's it all. You forget it all. Yes, so one thing, smiling, it does have this brilliant effect. Honestly, it does. It has this brilliant effect. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. But the second thing is, they need to know the limits. It's true. So you do teach them and you tell them, look, you should do this, you shouldn't do this. And at first, yes, obviously, she's a baby. Do you understand? So it doesn't mean that she's going to suddenly stop it. She may not even understand what I'm saying.
And it doesn't mean that we have to be proper, you know, harsh.
And it doesn't mean you have to be very, very harsh. But you need to set the limits, so lay down the rules. This is very,
from
very
the beginning.
Important. Yes, from the beginning. If you're not going to, then, you know, it's going to cause problems. And this is something which between spouses, husband and wife, they should come to an understanding between themselves too, as to what some limitations are, because sometimes they may disagree. Sometimes they think that, oh, no, it's okay, leave her. It's all right, she's only young. But another may say, no, you know, I want to do it while she's, or whilst he or she, I say she because I have a daughter, mashallah, whilst he or she is young, you know, you think you wish to do this or you wish to do that. So firstly, you need an understanding between yourself. Why? Because if one's telling the child off and then the other one's, you know,
being
saying,
lenient,
no, it's completely fine, then it means there's a conflict, isn't there?
Yeah. So, the balance of reprimanding thinking should be there as well.
Exactly. It should be a balance. It should be an understanding between those telling off. And if there's other people involved too, for example, if you're part of a larger family where there's more than one family living in one house, which we have many a time, in such a situation, there would be uncles, wouldn't there? So, or grandparents, they should also have the same understanding. Because if they're treating the child different, of the, you know, where there's no limitations, then again the child may think, oh, if I go to this zone, then it would be like this. But there does need to also be, Habibai, there does need to be a bit of difference too. So for example, if the child's done something wrong, if one is to reprimand the child, then the child can't go to the other and give them a hug because they need that too, don't they? But the limits is important. Let's just leave it there, inshallah. Limits is important. And yes, the Prophet ﷺ would sometimes express his anger when he would see something which is wrong, when he would see something which was bad. Sometimes just being displeased. Yesterday we mentioned the Prophet ﷺ, you know, whenever he would leave Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara or return to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, he would first go see Hazrat Fatima Zahra. And once he came and he saw this cover, and he saw that there was two pieces of jewelry. So because he was displeased, he turned away. So again, we also need to know what to do, when to do, how much to do. You see, for her, just the Prophet ﷺ turning away was enough. It may be for somebody else saying something. It may be, you know, having to raise your voice. You know, it depends. But sometimes you do need to put that message across. And the Prophet ﷺ did. So now, such an incident, which the Prophet ﷺ didn't approve of, he wouldn't smile, but rather he was displeased. So what did he do? He left. So this shows, my dear viewers, that whether it is good or whether it's something. And Habibai, I think one of the big problems, I don't want to stress too much upon this, because, you know, it is good habits, but it's not really coming under our topic of good habits. But what was I going to say? To be honest, subhanAllah, I forgot what I was going to say now. Sometimes, my dear viewers on the new channel, we do need to, you know, express this, whether it be displeasure or whatever it may be. Sometimes it is needed. Another habit of the Prophet ﷺ, which comes to mind, Habibai.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another one that comes to mind is how when he was in his household, he would also do help out in the housework as well. And, you know, things like sewing or stitching the clothes, and, you know, helping out with his spouses. So that is very important as well, which unfortunately in today's age, it's very rare that the husbands will work at home as well and do the housework. And they normally just leave it for the wife to do. So the Prophet would share the responsibilities. That is an important element that we can take from that, the sharing of responsibilities at the home. You know, mashallah, our sisters, our wives at home, they're always cooking, cleaning, helping around the house, doing so much for us. We should also help out and give them a bit of rest as well and do the work sometimes here and there.
And do the work. Some people would think, but yeah, but the men are working. They're going to work. So they're already working, they're possibly 8 hours a day. So how can they, after working 8 hours a day, how are they going to come home and then do housework too?
Well, you know, a housewife is working as well. It's just a different type of work. She's looking after the children, making the food, doing all these other chores, you know, cleaning the house. That's also a work in itself. Okay, so someone might object, how is that work? Well, then in that case, you know, people that are like, for example, maids or people that work at people's house to clean, cleaners, aren't they doing that same job as well? So you can say that it is a job in itself. So their work is of a different nature, but it is still work. So you should give them a bit of relaxation when you come home, you know, wash the pots, you know, probably put the laundry out or...
Laundry, have you done that? I've actually never done that. I'll be honest.
Alhamdulillah, yeah.
I've never. Because I was raised in such an environment where my mother didn't really let me do many things. So sometimes I would tell her, no, I want to do it. Or I want to do some things. For example, the Hoover and things. Yeah. Or maybe just my mom didn't never trusted me with it. And I don't think anybody else would trust me with it either.
Yeah, okay.
That's probably the people
if you mess up or something.
Inshallah, my name is Ubuntu, and inshallah, let's put our daily reminder and then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, without question, visiting the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is a great privilege, but it should be kept in mind that one who has been blessed with visiting this court must also conform to manners. A little bit of negligence may result in great deprivation. Let's now listen some of the manners. Number one, when visiting, one should make a pure intention of beholding the blessed grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There must not be any intention such as show off or trade, etc. Number two, recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam during the journey to Medina. Number three, as the haram of Medina approaches, it is better to cry and recite salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with your head bowed and then move ahead. Visit the blessed shrine with great humility of the heart and body. Say salam. If you cannot weep, at least have a weeping look on your face. Number five, try to focus all of your attentions to the merciful court of the greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Refrain from using the mobile phone and taking selfies and ponder that you are present in a very glorious court. Number six, if somebody has requested you to convey his salam to the court of beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then say salam on his behalf as well. Number seven, as long as you are blessed with a stay in Madina Tayyiba, spend most of your time in the state of wudu in the blessed masjid, offering salah, reciting the Holy Quran, salat upon the greatest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as well. Obviously, you will also spend your time on fulfilling your needs. One should not talk about any worldly matter in any masjid. Take extra care there. Number eight, in Medina, the reward of 50,000 good deeds is granted for performing a single good deed. Therefore, put more effort in the acts of worship. Do cut down the intakes of food, etc. as long as possible and give sadaqah. And number nine, never turn your back towards the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As long as possible, do not stand at such a place to offer salah where your back is towards the blessed shrine. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. May the peace of Allah inshallah, Yahweh should rise and shine. MashaAllah, we've just had our daily reminder, Habib. I was speaking about good manners. So doing work at home, yes. You know, doing some sort of work at home, and yes, you should make it easy. And it shouldn't be too demanding too. This is another thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be too demanding. It shouldn't be like, oh, do this, and I'll do this, and then do this. And normally, if it was, and this is something we must understand, is that when you're getting married, you're not employing, it's not some sort of employment of a servant or something.
Exactly.
Some people may think that, oh, no, the wife, she needs to do this, she needs to do that. But rather, my dear viewers, than inshallah, no, it's a relationship. I mean, it's, you know, it happens both sides. When a man's getting married, when a woman is getting married, they wish that, yes, I'm going to get married, I'm going to live, you know, a happy life, inshallah. Sure. You know, we're going to do all sorts of things together. And this is what their hope is too. And if they're going to be getting married, and then, you know, the husband thinks, well, no, she needs to do work, she just should work. And that's all she should be doing. No, my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of all examples. And some people also think of it as to be defective, sort of, as, you know, something which is not considered demanding, maybe.
Define it demeaning. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. To, you know, show that love to the wife or that kindness, affection, or even in front of others.
Mm.
So some may be thinking, you know, look at him, he's too nice with his missus. Normally,
the missus got him under his thumb.
That's typical thinking, isn't it? Sorry?
The missus got him under his thumb. That's the expression that they use, isn't it? That's
they say lockdown, you know, lockdown. This could be problematic if that is the case. But as we said, with everything, there's limits, isn't it? It's not that everything she may say that you have to do, no. We're not saying this either, my dear viewers. There should be limits. What's right, what's in accordance to Sharia, this is what we should consider. And this, do you know, Habiba, one thing, Alhamdulillah, which I did employ from the beginning, that when we build our relationship in accordance to the Sharia, then we won't have problems. Why? Because if there's something being asked, if it's in accordance to the Sharia, then after that you can decide, you know, on the rest between yourselves. But if it's against the Sharia, then straight up, no. That's it, it's against the Sharia. End of story. We must have the red line, this is now. This is a red line. The red line is the Sharia. And this is a general relationship. We do need to come back to habits. Other habits of the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I would say something that comes into my mind is how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to talk and when he used to deal with people, his attention and how he used to talk to them people is amazing as well. So everyone felt, this is Mufti Qasim Zahab, he was mentioning once in a silsila, that there's one sunnah which is not something you can implement yourself. It's something which is a little bit kind of gifted to you.
Mm.
And that is that feeling that every single person that you talk to, that person that you're talking to, he loves you the most, or the attention is going towards him the most. So one of the sunnahs of the Prophet is that anyone that he used to talk to, the companions used to think that the Prophet loves me the most. He's giving me the attention the most. And that is how the impact of the Prophet life was upon the Sahaba Ikram, that they felt beloved. They felt that they had been listened to. They felt that they are given attention towards. So the Prophet, when he used to talk to someone, he never used to just, you know, listen from the ear. His attention and body language would be important as well. He would turn towards that person, you know, and face towards him and then speak. And because of the modesty of the Holy Prophet, he would never would always, like, you know, some people, they say you always constantly should look, have eye contact. He would sometimes, you know, have eye contact, then lower his gaze. Have eye contact, then lower his gaze. So that was the modesty of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's also another good habit as well. You know, modesty of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amazing.
Nowadays, modesty, is it considered a good act? Somebody would think, oh no, you know, you shouldn't be always too modest. And well, this is inshallah something we will get back to. Let's move to the daily hadith first, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran, we're told as well, "Ista'inu bi-sabri wa-salah." Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings, and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith, we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, and is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions, "Ara'aytum law anna nahran bi babi ahadikum yaghtasilu fihi kulla yawmin khamsan?" If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, "Hal yabqa min daranihi shay'un?" Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiyallahu anhu majma'in replied, "La yabqa min daranihi shay'un." No. No such filth, no such dirt will be left, because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fadhalika mathalu salawati al-khamsi." That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. Yamhu Allahu bihinna al-khataya. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers of Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And even if it's inshallah, the hour should rise and shine, is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam to and as you said, that Mufti Qasim Sahib said, that this is not something which everybody can maybe develop themselves, but they either have it or they don't. Is that what it is? Meaning, you know, something, it's like having different sort of temperaments or a disposition. So some people would generally be really happy, jolly people all the time. Others may be a bit, you know, mixed, or they may always be a bit, yes, exactly. You know, you get all sorts of people, my dear viewers. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would speak, how do you do that? When you speak to everybody, you know, they all think, I think one is being a leader. It wouldn't happen for an ordinary person, would it?
I think if you look at it, responsibility, there's always an element that you are going to be responsible of someone. For example, if you're a father, your family, even the mother, her own family as well. If you're at work, you know, there might be people that are below you, things like this. So when it comes to as a responsibility, when listening to those that are below you, then you should be building that habit. And habit is built by practice. So, you know, something's not going to happen overnight. You have to work on it, have it in memory as well at the time, and then develop that in yourself. If you practice something for roughly around about 40 days, that ends up becoming a habit. And then if you practice that for 90 days, that becomes then part of your personality. So more and more you practice, the better a person will become. And this is with anything, you know, with good habits, even thinking positively. This is a bad habit as well, thinking negative thoughts, having that self-confidence, self-stability. How are you going to build that? By practicing yourself as well too.
I'm going to tell you one, you say possibly Sunnah of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, but it's something which is beautiful. I was reading just recently in the Muwatta of Hazrat Imam Malik radhiyallahu anhu, his compilation of a hadith sharif. Hazrat Imam Malik radhiyallahu anhu, he narrates that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he once said that he was passing by a pig, and he says, "Unfuz bi salam." He says to the pig that continue walking or carry on walking in peace. From amongst his companions, some people said that, you know, "O Messenger of Allah, that Ya Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, why is it that you said this? Why is it that you said this, that, you know, just continue in peace?" And especially to a pig.
Yeah.
"Well, why did you say this to a pig?" And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam replies, "Because I do not wish for anything negative or to be used to anything negative on my tongue."
SubhanAllah.
Imagine this. Honestly, I remember Dawab even teaching this hadith sharif to the Dawab al-Hadith sharif students. We all stopped when we just began speaking about this generally. We were like, wow. Honestly, I was like, wow. So this is the first time I've read that hadith sharif. And I was like, wow. And, you know, this is, what do you think about that, Habibai? Just for nothing negative to come on their blessed tongue and their blessed mouth, not to say anything negative. They even said, "Unfuz bi salam," to a pig.
It just shows how the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them, their nature, the way that they were, and how amazing that we can take from their lives.
Oh.
And, you know, the positivity that they brought in the world. You know, if someone was a negative person, he wouldn't spread positivity. He would be spreading negative things. But the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, they were so positive, they had so much good positive energy that they transferred that to the whole world. And look, you know, Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, who doesn't remember him? You know, we're always talking and discussing about
him. But we're always speaking negative, aren't we? We're always speaking negative. The majority of the things we say are negative rather than positive. We say bad things, and we are either spreading lies or, you know, all sorts of things, backbiting, whatever it may be, lying just for no reason whatsoever. But just Isa alayhi salam, he never wished to say anything negative. Even seeing a pig, he says something positive. Allahu Akbar. And if you use the Madani channel, subhanAllah. And yes, the Prophets alayhi salam are examples for all of us. And we should try to speak good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the one that says this, he's the one that tells us this. Undoubtedly, the way he implemented this is something which cannot be matched. Amir al-Sunnah, we find nowadays, we have, as they call the lock of the tongue, meaning controlling, it's control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Control your tongue, remaining quiet, speak less, use gestures rather than speaking. Use gestures rather than speaking, in order to be able to control what you are saying. Because the majority of many of the sins we commit is via the tongue, isn't it?
The Prophet saw some of the hadith, which I'm paraphrasing, that if you can guarantee me two things, safety of two things, then I'll guarantee you Jannah, the tongue and that which is between the legs. So desire, the controlling of the tongue, the controlling of negative thoughts, these are all important points and something that will come into habit once we practice them. So one of the other habits that came into my mind of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in terms of his diet as well. And, you know, because eating is a very integral part of our life. Indeed. Something that if we don't do, it's going to end up making us die. And what we eat has a big impact as well on our lives. So how the Prophet used to eat, the way he used to eat, what things he used to eat as well, that is very important, and we should take from that.
But in terms of what the Prophet used to eat, so now, yes, of course, eating is a necessity. We have to eat, and even in our deen, it would be fard sometimes to eat, because you're not allowed to remain in hunger, complete hunger. We have been told to eat.
Yeah.
We must eat. We must eat. Keep it simple. I think you can only go about 30 days without eating, if I'm correct.
Not sure.
About 30 days or so, if I remember correctly, without eating. But water, just 2 or 3 days maybe. So we need to eat. That's a must. But then, how many things were available to the Prophet to eat? What sort of things were available? Because nowadays we have all kinds of delicious foods. In them days, you didn't.
Yeah, it was very limited, yeah.
It was limited, wasn't it? Well, what things did the Prophet eat?
The Prophet would like natural resources, things like, you know...
Everything was natural though, as well, wasn't it?
That's true as well, but in the sense that things which grow from the ground as well, like dates, vegetables. The Prophet, one of his favorite was Qaddu Sharif, which is in English, which we call gourd.
Gourd, yeah.
There's a few types. There's like, pumpkin is also a type of Qaddu. You've got bottle gourd, which is the long one, and then you've got the round one, which is just called gourd. So that is one of the things which the Prophet ﷺ used to like, eating fruits. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, fruits as well. Pomegranate, the fig. Yeah,
that's a fruit, isn't it?
That's a fruit as well.
Yeah.
Olives. So all of these things are very nutritious, something which is a good part of the diet that we should have. And then there's things like honey as well. Honey, the Prophet ﷺ used to like milk. So these things are something that we should drink as well. So,
but all of these things which you're mentioning, yes, no doubt they're all good. You know, they've even been mentioned in the Quran. For example, olives, they're full of fats, but they're all good fats, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you get good and bad fats, which they're all brilliant, no doubt. But what was available to the Prophet which was bad? One of those things is alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah.
One of those things is alcohol, which was available at the time. It was available in large, huge amounts. But the Prophet ﷺ always refrained from it. He disliked it. And then that became haram too.
Exactly.
It's an intoxicant, isn't it? What other things, Habibai? I'm not sure. Maybe you don't know. Right now, there's nothing that's coming to my mind which was available generally during that time, but was not good possibly for the health.
There is one thing.
Food, type of food?
It was gaur, which we call in Urdu, which I think is type of lizard.
Gaur?
A type of lizard.
Oh, yes.
So that was available in the time.
The Prophet didn't like it.
That's what's coming into mind at the moment. So them things.
No, but this is talking about dislike. In a way that does come under. But something which is unhealthy or not good, because onions are good for the body. You know, these things are good for the body. Anything which you think is bad, I'm not sure. What do you think?
Excessive meat is bad.
Anything in excess is bad.
Yeah.
Excess in water is bad too.
Yeah, that's true.
You could, could kill yourself by drinking too much water. You become intoxicated, don't you?
Yeah.
So anything come into mind?
Hallucinations. I think nothing comes into my mind. That's all I've got at the moment.
Yeah, so the reason why I brought this up, Habibai, is because you mentioned one thing, that the diet. But during the time of the Prophet, there was not all of these options.
Yeah.
So other than alcohol. Alcohol is one thing which is actually bad, which was available and is actually bad. So that's one thing that just come to my mind. But other than that, like nowadays, it'll be crisps. There'll
fast
be chocolate,
food, yeah.
There'll be fast foods, in everything, adding sugar, and in everything, all of the desserts. So there's all of these options, and the majority of them, you can possibly say, are bad for you. Nearly all of these which I've mentioned are possibly bad for you. So for all of these foods, can we say it's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to just have, yes, the Prophet ﷺ would just have good foods, but what bad foods were there available?
I think, if you look at the Holy Quran as well, the verse of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the summary of which is that eat from that which is tayyib. Eat from which that is tayyib. So it's mentioned halal, but then it also mentions tayyib as well. So pure food. So something which is halal doesn't always necessarily have to be a good food as well, a nutritious food. So with the element of tayyib in there, you can say that the point of having a nutritious diet, something which is that you eat has more valuable in value in that food, is something which is good looked upon in Sharia as something good. So you can say like things like fruit, and which we understand as well is a good diet.
Yeah.
You know, we know that too much sugar, too much of salt,
things are not good as well. Is good. I did hear about one individual who lives off fruit, but that's rare. Not everybody could do that.
Fruit
not really
diet
good.
Very,
it's
very
not really
rare
good
thing.
Either. Mm. Just having fruit and nothing else. But yes, there are like vegetable diets and stuff like this, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's closer to the sunnah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because nearly everything the Prophet would have is would be vegetable. Other than meats, which would rarely be eaten. So my dear viewers, but the lesson to take from this is that yes, definitely eating those things which are
the way
organic,
you eat as well. That's also important.
Brilliant. Let's go
so,
to that.
For example, like eating whilst sitting on the floor with the guests. So the element of eating is not just getting food and giving you energy. It's also making that as a welcoming thing. Something that the family get together with, friends get together, and they have like a meal. It's a sign of positivity as well. You know, it's mentioned that if you want to make someone happy, feed them. Okay, so feeding someone, the element of eating also brings positive vibes as well. So like if someone's naraz or someone's angry, it might be because they're hungry. So feed them something, they'll be happy with you. Mm-hmm. When it comes to eating, not just the element of what you eat, how you eat, the way that you're eating with your hands, the washing of the hands before and after eating, that's a sunnah as well. Eating not too rushed as well, so not eating very quickly and not leaning whilst eating. So these things, although they are sunnah, there's many scientific elements to that as well. You know, in terms of the bad eating that will come in that sense as well. So there's many things that we can take from the eating and the dietary of the Prophet.
So generally, it's important anyway. The Prophet would definitely take care of his health. He would eat. He would eat very, very less. Prophet would eat very, very less when he was on the digital. There would be many times where the Prophet would have stones tied to his own stomach. There's, you know, many famous incidents too. We spoke about fruits. Let's move to our fruit segment, inshallah. And let's see which fruit, by the way, Habiba, you mentioned it. Can you guess?
Pomegranate, I'm probably.
No, in fact, I'm not even sure if this is considered a fruit. It's more of a vegetable side. Olives. Did you mention it though? Olives. No. It was
onion.
Something else.
Onion.
No, man. Let's move to our fruit. And that's actually quite. I'm just thinking. It's pumpkin. The answer is pumpkin.
Okay, pumpkin. Okay.
Is pumpkin? Is it a fruit or is it a veg?
I think it's a vegetable.
Yeah, I think it's a vegetable.
Yeah.
But we've got in our fruit segment, so maybe it does constitute a fruit. We'll have a look, inshallah. But if you let's move to our fruit segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The pumpkin fruit, pumpkin has a ton of healthy benefits to add to your daily diet, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. It boosts the taste of pretty everything, whether your food be sweet or savory. It complements both. And the best thing is that it is low in calories. This makes it an excellent diet. It's very high in vitamin A. It's said that a cup of pumpkin contains over 200, not 100%, but 200% of the daily recommended intake of vitamin A. And this is very, very important for eye health and also night vision. Yes, I said night vision. Pumpkin is also a very good source of vitamin C, an antioxidant known for strengthening the immune system and boosting collagen production. And this is why you always see within the ingredients of skincare products, you will find that they have pumpkin within them. It also improves iron absorption, and studies show that it reduces oxidative stress, which can prevent premature aging. One cup of pumpkin contains 19% of the daily recommended intake. It'll fill you up fast. Yes, pumpkin is very high in fiber. With one cup containing nearly 7 grams, it'll fill you up and benefit your health. Fiber is needed for a healthy digestion. It helps to lower cholesterol and it keeps us fuller for longer. It's a pretty important nutrient to get in the diet. Did you know that the pumpkin has more potassium even than a banana? Yes, my dear viewers, it's very, very high in potassium, a mineral which is necessary for muscle contraction, for good digestion, for water balance, a healthy blood pressure. It's very, very important, my dear viewers, and a lot of people forget to eat enough of it. As with magnesium, if you are active and are depleting electrolytes, like potassium, for example, it's even more critical to restore levels by eating pumpkin. There's over 500 milligrams of potassium in a canned cup of pumpkin, my dear viewers, which is more than you will get in a large banana. Pumpkins also combat diabetes. It helps to control diabetes. The plant compounds within the pumpkin seeds and the pulp of pumpkins are excellent for helping the absorption of glucose into the tissues and intestines, as well as for balancing the levels of liver glucose. It also protects immunity. Pumpkin pulp and seeds are high in both vitamin C and beta carotene. These offer a boost to the immune system using a powerful combination of nutrients. Beta carotene is converted into vitamin A, which triggers the creation of white blood cells. And white blood cells, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, they fight foreign infections, foreign bodies. So this is a good reason to eat pumpkin. A particular type of pumpkin is also a sunnah to eat. That's all for now. Add pumpkin to your diet. Rise and shine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Mandarin Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. My dear viewers, a pumpkin, is it a fruit or is it a veg?
It's a fruit, yeah.
It's actually a fruit.
Yeah.
But you see, Habiba, I think the reason is because there's different definitions of fruit and veg. So for example, the tomato, remember, because once I came across it and it said a fruit. So I remember checking it up and it says, according to, I think, some people it's a fruit, depending on how you look at it. So I think it's maybe chefs, maybe according to them it's a veg, but according to, I don't know, other types
yeah,
of
I think it's something to do with the seeds, and then the one thing
not
is to
always,
do with...
so there's different sort of differences, isn't there?
Yeah.
Some say the differences have got to do with the seeds. Others say, no, the difference has got to do with something else.
Yeah, sometimes it's the difference of how it grows as
yeah.
well.
And I think, inshallah, we need to have a silsila on fruits.
I think
specifically,
it's very good.
Just on fruits, inshallah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Good habib, Habiba, we've only got 2 minutes left. I'll give you 1 minute of those 2 minutes. Any other new good habit, maybe you wish to go over a few of the habits we've mentioned, or maybe one to leave for the viewers to adopt, inshallah.
I would say something that we can take from is the habit of being clean and tidy and presentable. The Prophet ﷺ have regular baths, you know, comb his hair, oil his hair, apply surma, you know, these kind of things are important as well. So good clothing,
wearing good clothing, wearing the Imam Sharif, looking presentable, that's also important as a Muslim as well.
That's something that's beautiful, cleanliness, very, very important. Many of you, inshallah, we spoke about a few habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some for us to adopt too, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon it, inshallah. I hope you've enjoyed the morning, my dear viewers. Please do join us for that tomorrow for more Rise and Shine. That's all for now. Continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.